Hi, this is Marian Samuel from the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse in Antigua. Every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., we interview a guest about real-life issues from the Caribbean. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversations, a time to explore the issues surrounding your everyday existence. Your family, your community, your environment, your health and safety habits, your lifestyle, both physically and spiritually, will all be discussed here on Lighthouse Conversations. Let's get started and see just what we can learn to better your life. Welcome to another episode of Lighthouse Conversation. I am Marian Samuel, your host for the program. And with me on the telephone line is Miss Thalia Harrigan, sitting in for her daughter, Jalicia Harrigan, who is June's ambassador for the Medical Benefits Scheme calendar, Staying Alive. June month recognizes epilepsy, and Jalicia Harrigan is this month's recipient. Ms. Harrigan will take some time to share how her daughter is living with this condition and what she is doing to stay alive. Thanks for joining and sharing a part of your daughter's and your life as well, Ms. Harrigan.
Thank you.
Ms. Harrigan, tell us a little about your daughter.
My daughter, she has been suffering from epilepsy from the time she was about, I would say, about 2 years. And we have been through a whole lot. Well, actually, the seizures start, well, they come on first as like when she have a fever. Every time she has a fever, she have a seizures. And then I took her to the hospital. They gave her medication for it. The medication, they worked for her until she was about 2 years old, at that time the seizures stopped, and then they came back when she was 13 years old, when she entered secondary school. Well, all during secondary school and up until now, she's still going through a whole lot with the seizures. They told us she has she did an MRI, and they told us that she has a tumor on her brain, which is the size of a 10 cent. And it's been an uphill struggle with her. We went there. They have a few doctors came in. One of them was Dr. Clark, and he came in with his team, and one of the team operated the electroencephalograph machine. They did that test with her, and it revealed that instead of a tumor, it is more of a scarring. At first, we didn't want to do any surgery because I thought they was like going to take off the top of her head and all of that. But recently, as of about 2 weeks ago, we saw another group of specialists, neurosurgeons, and one of them, they explained to us what the surgery would be like and all of that. So I said, okay, is it like there would be an incision above her ear, and then they go in with their special tools and all of that and take out the scarring, and then she would be more manageable and medication would be less too. The medication, the doses of the medication will gradually decrease, and yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. Basically, you just give us a mouthful there in almost every question that I was going to ask you concerning Jalicia. But if we can scale back just a little, could you tell the listener, how exactly did you discover your daughter's condition? At what point in her life did you discover her condition?
She was having fevers ever so often. Whenever she gets a cold, You know, some children, they, you know, some children, when they get a fever, you know, they give them paracetamol liquid and then they will be okay and all of that.
Right.
Not for her. The paracetamol liquid did not work for her. And the fever would subside for maybe an hour or two, and then the fever come back, and it come back higher than the previous temperature, and then it was like stressing me, and I had to take her to the hospital. And then when I discover she's doing this shaking, so I wonder what it is.
Right.
So my mother told me to take her to the hospital and find out what is going on with her, and the fever is not normal fever. So I took her to the hospital, and then one of the doctors, I believe at that time they were that's when the Cuban doctors and nurses come into the hospital. One of them, he told me, when he took her from me, she had a seizure, and then by the time he put her on the bed to lie down, because they tell me to stay outside. They put her on the bed, and he says she had about 4 seizures between the space of him taking her from me to the bed that he was putting her on.
Wow.
Yeah. So from then, he called me at a side, and then he told me she have epileptic seizures, which I didn't really understand it too tough, but I know it's something to be careful of, and you know, I did do a bit of research, but they did not do no MRI or anything at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the doctors questioned it, why they did not do an MRI. Maybe because she was too small, because she was about between 6 months to a year when all of these seizures was happening. So they give her valproic acid, which and it worked very well for her. But when I look at the ingredients, oh my.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel for her. I feel for her because it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I have to take her to the hospital to get blood tests ever so often, about every 2 to 6 months, to make sure everything is in working condition and nothing is her organs are not deteriorating in any way and all of that.
What is Jalicia's daily routine like in the face of her epilepsy?
She do have chores, and that chore that she has to do is like washing up, washing the dishes. We don't let her cook.
Mm-hmm.
If we allow her to go to the shop, which is not too far from where we live in, we have to have somebody with her because the seizures can happen to her on the road and make cars accidents and all of that. And about something like that happened to her on a Sunday. I think it was early this year. We sent her to the shop, and you know, somebody called me and told me that to come up the road now because something happened to her nickname is Pinky.
Okay.
So I went up the road, and then, you know, a few ladies was in the pasture sitting out. So they told me that, you know, they didn't know that she suffered from seizures, but they said the same time she fall, there was a car passing, and they thought that the car hit her. So I tell them, no, the car did not hit her. And when she came out of her seizures, she told them that she did not get hit from the car. They called police, and they called ambulance and all of that.
Does Jalicia know what might trigger an attack on her seizure? Is she aware what might trigger her attacks?
To some extent, yes, she knows. And even for us, which for myself and her sisters, and even for my grandson, we try to protect her as much as we can. And yes, we try to tell her, Jalicia, don't do so, don't, because you know this might be a trigger for your seizure as well. One of the triggers we're trying to get her to stop doing is being on her phone late in the night. And the doctor said that one is one of the triggers for her having seizures, like 4 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, those times.
Mm. I was about to ask you how often.
Well, for right now, she hasn't had any seizures for the past 3 weeks.
Wow.
Which in, I am glad for that, because it's taking a toll on me. Because if I'm not getting the rest that I needed, I'm not going to be that productive at my work. I am a school bus conductor, and if I don't get good rest at night, I won't be that productive at work.
Definitely. So I
got to be up early in the morning, because my job, I start work at 6 and I go on break. My break time is from 10 to 12.
Okay. Reading Jalicia's portfolio, she stated she is studying drafting. How is she doing?
Drafting, yes. She's doing studying drafting. She's doing better than what we expected, even for herself. So she's saying that, you know, she's surprised. She's doing, you know, I think they give them a model, and it was kind of a tricky, and she got it done to perfection, that she got a good grade for it.
Awesome. Is Jalicia, I'm hearing there in the background?
Yes.
She wants to talk?
Would you like to talk? Yes.
Okay, let me talk to her. That would be nice.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Jalicia. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
It's so nice to hear your voice. I was just asking your mom how you were doing in your studies, and she was just telling us a little. Do you want to continue to share with us how you're doing in your studies?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm studying drafting at Abbott right now, and the work, they're not that bad to me, but I'm trying, if I'm not understanding fully, I will try to go back to my teachers or to my friends, and I get better in understanding how to do it, or I even look it up on online also.
Wow, that's very good. How are you coping at school with your condition?
Well, right now, I'm actually not having seizures at school right now. I'm glad for that, because since last year, September, until earlier this year, I've been having some bad seizures at school. And it's like for a whole week I didn't get to go to school for. But my friends, if I'm having seizures at school, they would actually be calling my teachers or the principal. They'll call them, and the school will be calling the ambulance. And they didn't really have to call the ambulance, but they're so scared for me having seizures at school. They could actually just call my mom, and my mom will try to get a ride for me to come home, because after I'm having seizures, I'm actually deep in my sleep and I'm all right.
Okay, good. Jalicia, one more question for you. You stated in your portfolio, in order to bring awareness and stop the stigma and foster support of your condition, you would arrange for doctors to speak to the students. I found that was very bold of you and very encouraging. So how did you go about doing that? How did you get to organize the doctors or mom help you out?
Well, I actually talked to the doctor about it. Because many other people, they are actually still teasing and like they're not understanding about my seizures. So I actually rather to talk to the doctor about it, and she understands, and they made a schedule for me to do it.
That's good. That's good, Jalicia. I'm actually very proud of you. I've never met you. Never met you before. Just by hearing your mom speak about you, I wish you every success, Jalicia, especially in your studies. I just pray that the Lord would help you to have less seizures. Okay, and we will remember you here at the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse as well, and especially in time of our prayer time. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to me. You have anything else to say before I let you go?
Well, my mom has her radio in her room, and she always listening to it every night. Radio Lighthouse, listening to it every night. So I'm sure when it comes on tonight that she's going to call me over.
Thank you, Mommy, for that. Jalicia, I just wish you, once again, I wish you all the best and keep listening. Continue to let this epilepsy, you know, be in our minds. Help us to be aware so we'll be able to know better how to respond. Okay, bye-bye. I am Marian Samuel, your host for the program, Lighthouse Conversation. And with me on the telephone line is Ms. Thalia Harrigan. June month recognizes epilepsy, and Jalicia Harrigan is this month's recipient. Ms. Harrigan will take some time to share how her daughter is living with this condition and what she is doing to stay alive. It was really nice for me to speak to her. That was very good. I am happy that I got that opportunity to speak to her.
Thank you.
As we were speaking, the school she's attending, did you have to update them on Jalicia's condition?
Yes, most definitely. Yes, we have to. We have to do that because, you know, they might say she might have a seizure at school, and they will call me and tell me, Mommy, how you did not tell us that this situation happened to her, whatever. So everywhere she goes, even if she is applying for a job, we have to let them know that she have this condition and this is what will happen and all of that.
Are there do's and don'ts she has to avoid in case of an attack of seizure?
Yes. Well, I know from the older folks, they used to tell you to put a spoon or put nutmeg and all these kind of things. Now they're telling you not to put no spoon, no nutmeg, nothing whatsoever in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And to turn them on the left side and make sure that if you can get them to stay on the left side, that's the recovery side, until they come out of the seizure.
Okay, so that's basically what we should do, put them on their left side.
Yeah.
Turn them on their left side, okay. Yes. And how about you, Ms. Harrigan? How do you support your daughter in the face of her epilepsy? How are you doing?
To tell you the honest truth, sometimes I really don't know how I cope, but I give God thanks and praise because just a few months ago, I was sitting on it and saying, I was praying actually and say, Lord, I don't know how I get through all of this. I really don't know, but I have you as my guide, my protector, my everything to lead me and guide me and show me what to do. If I don't understand, well, I have the doctors and I go on Google and all of that. And I really don't know. And prayer do work.
Yes.
Prayer do work. And we just have to keep on praying. It might sound monotonous or get weary in praying, but the Bible says should not get weary in praying.
Right, Pray without ceasing.
You can't give up.
Right. What are some things you would like the public to keep in mind or do to help?
Number one, to find out more about the epilepsy because they are so many different types of epilepsy, which I did not know at first, and try as much as possible to help that person that is going through it, as well as their families, because we do need prayers and we do sometimes need a little help, because if she's not with me and she's at school, I have to rely on the people at her school to help her in whatever way they can. And their number one priority is to call the ambulance as soon as she has a seizure. They don't have to, but that's their policy, so we just have to go with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What advice do you have for those who might be facing this condition, as well as the parents plus the child or children? What advice do you have for them?
My advice is to, number one, pray. See God first and foremost, and then whatever support system you can get from family and friends, it also helps too.
How is her epilepsy treated?
They give her medication, their tablets.
Mm-hmm.
There are two of them for now. One is Keppra and one is lacosamide.
How has the medical benefit scheme assisted you and your daughter?
They have helped a lot, especially with the medication part, and hopefully with this surgery coming, we're trying to get together for her to go overseas to do the surgery, and we crave,
mm-hmm.
crave the medical benefit help for support for that, and whoever else can help us in whatever way they can.
Okay, thanks so much, Miss Thalia Harrigan,
yes.
for sharing your daughter's condition of epilepsy with us. I was well informed, as well as my listener. We learned much. I wish you and your daughter every success health-wise, and especially a successful surgery. We trust you will get all the finance you need and everything, and we trust for a successful surgery for her. May God bless you both. Thank you very much once again, Ms. Harrigan.
Thank you. Before you go,
yes.
I just would like to say one thing. CRL is a station that I listen to often, especially for Unshackled.
Uh-huh.
That is my favorite program, and I even download the app. So when I miss it on the radio, I have the app on my phone, so I can go and listen to it.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Thanks for that. Thanks for being our promoter right there.
Yes.
And we do appreciate that as well. So you have a wonderful day, okay?
And the same to you, too.
Thank you so much. Okay,
all right,
bye-bye.
Yes,
thanks for listening in on our conversation. We trust that it was beneficial to you as you continue to develop a more meaningful life. Do you have a topic or a guest you would like us to have a conversation with for a future episode on Lighthouse Conversations? We would love to hear your suggestions. Send us a mail at Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1057, St. John's, Antigua, or lighthouse, B-I-M-I, at gmail.com, or give us a call at area code 268-462-1454, or send us a message via WhatsApp or text at area code 268-782-1454. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can hear Lighthouse Conversations Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. If you're in Antigua, you can listen at 92.3 MHz FM. If you're in the Caribbean, you can listen at 1160 kHz AM, or listen online at www.radiolighthouse.org from anywhere in the world. Or you can subscribe to this podcast. Looking forward to having you join us next time. Bye-bye.